Well, it's that time of year again, isn't it? Thanksgiving is officially on Thursday. It's one of the later Thanksgivings that we've had in the last few years. But there's usually a few more other Thanksgiving meals thrown in for good measure, aren't there? That's not a bad thing. Including, here's a little advertisement, one tonight here at the church, to which all of you are welcome, as John mentioned already. But as in years past, you will probably experience the same feeling after each meal you enjoy. Feeling that I often feel. That is, I've eaten way too much. So, when you're asked, maybe at dessert time, would you like some more? Pumpkin pie with a little whipped cream, or a lot of whipped cream with a little pumpkin pie, as the case may be. Without hesitation, you will say yes, or maybe a little hesitation, but it's really not something you regret all that much, is it? Because the food is so good and you just can't help yourself, you want more. You want more. Now, if that happens with every meal or with every good and enjoyable thing in life, it can lead to some rather unfortunate events and results. Just ask the scale when it comes January time, right? Unfortunate results. There are times in life when you can have too much of a good thing. There are times. But as we will see from Paul's letter to Philemon this morning, this is not the case when it comes to the things of God. You see, it's okay for a Christian to want more and to aspire to more in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. So if you're not there already, please turn with me in your Bibles to the last five verses of Philemon. We're actually going to conclude this letter this morning, where after making his appeal to Philemon for Onesimus, who are now both brothers in Christ, the Apostle Paul here explains why he believed he could even write such a letter about such a sensitive issue in the first place. It was because he simply believed that Philemon, according to the end of verse 21, would do more than he said, more than he suggested, more. So let's look at these verses together, beginning in verse 21 through the end of this letter. Paul writes, "Having confidence in thy obedience, Philemon, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, at the same time, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust, I believe, I hope that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Now, even though the ending of Philemon is similar in many respects to the ending of Colossians, which we were at just a number of weeks ago, and really to the end of most of the letters of Paul, these inspired verses are still skillfully used by Paul to encourage Philemon to want more and to do more in his Christian faith and life. And so as we look at these verses more closely this morning, I want you to think about just how much more there is for you as a Christian. How much more there is for you as a child of God. Because when it comes to your own faith and your own life as a Christian, you can never have too much of a good thing. And it's okay to want more. Because as we read in verse 21, there is still room for more growth. There is still room for more growth in your walk with the Lord. And this is what Paul is explaining to Philemon when he tells him his motivation for writing this letter in the first place. Verse 21, "I'm having confidence in thy obedience. That's why I wrote unto thee, Philemon, because I've known that thou wilt also do more than I say." Paul was very optimistic as he's writing this letter. He's optimistic that Philemon would actually fulfill his desire for that runaway slave Onesimus that he would forgive him, receive him into his house, even restore him, according to the terms in verse 16. Not now as a servant, not now as a slave, but above a servant, above a slave, a brother beloved. This is what Paul desired. This is what Paul was after, and Paul was optimistic. Now, how could Paul be so optimistic about this? Because this really runs against human nature. When you own something, when you have a possession, you want to hold on to that possession. That's a human response. And especially if it's been stolen from you or if it's been lost, when it comes back into your possession, you want to use it because it's yours. And that's the way most slaveholders would have thought about a runaway slave. When they come back into their house, I'm going to use them, maybe even abuse them a little bit more. But Paul knew something about Philemon, that that would not happen. He was optimistic because he saw great potential for spiritual growth in Philemon. Isn't this why, ladies, because most guys don't do this, but ladies, when someone you know is having a baby or has had a baby, you start thinking about and looking for clothes that you can buy and then give for the child to wear. But you're always thinking ahead. At least my wife is. Always thinking ahead. You're not just thinking about what that baby can wear now, because those clothes will be outgrown within just a couple of days. You're thinking about 3 months from now, or 6 months from now, or 9 months from now, or even a year from now, especially if it's good sale at Kohl's, right? And you're looking forward to this because you believe that the baby, that child, will grow. Why? Because it's natural. It's natural for a baby to grow. Well, in a similar way, Paul believed that there would be more growth in Philemon, first of all, in character. In Philemon's character. And that's why Paul could say, verse 21, that he had confidence in Philemon's obedience. You see, as we've looked at throughout this letter, Philemon was a good man. He had a good character, a good testimony to the Colossian community. He had a godly reputation. But the issue that Paul wrote to him about was a very sensitive issue, and that would stretch his faith. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you've experienced that this week. An issue that has come up in your life, in your family, maybe even in the church, that God is using to stretch your faith a little bit, to touch your heart a little bit, to get you out of that comfort zone that we so often get ourselves into. Well, that's what God is doing here to Philemon. But Paul had confidence in his obedience and that his character would continue to grow as an obedient child of God. Now, how could Paul be so confident about this? Well, I think, first of all, it's because of the transformation that took place in Philemon's heart and life. You see, Paul, as we've already looked at, had personally witnessed to Philemon and had even won Philemon to the Lord. Paul was an eyewitness of Philemon's spiritual transformation. And isn't that, after all, what the gospel does? When you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, the spiritual seed of Christ Himself is actually implanted in your heart, and you become a new creation, a new creature, it says in the Bible. And you are transformed, and if you are God's child, that seed will grow. There will be fruit to your faith. Have you experienced that spiritual transformation that Philemon experienced, that Paul experienced, that others that you might know experienced here? The truth is, you can. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And once saved, you are now like that little baby that is born into this world. You are expected to grow. Why? Because it's a natural thing. Rather, it's a supernatural thing. God's children will grow. And that was what Paul expected to happen in the life of Philemon. And then the Lord offers you even more. But Paul also could be confident because of the tenderness of Philemon. The tenderness of Philemon to the will and to the word of God. The root of the word obedience here in verse 21 actually comes from a word that means to listen. Isn't this what you want a kid to do? You want them to listen. In fact, we have a good group of kids at our Weston Elementary Good News Club. And most of those kids, you know, they're rambunctious because it's after school. And One of the things that we try to tell them is you've got to listen in order to learn. And that's what God wants his children to do. He wants us to listen in order to learn and to obey and comply with his will. And this is the kind of tenderness that Philemon was known for. He had an obedience. He listened to God's word. So Paul was also confident because of the truthfulness of the church. The church that he was with were eyewitnesses to God's ongoing work in Philemon's life. And that's why in verse 5, if you remember, Paul wrote that he heard of his faith and love. So all of these things come together. And now Paul can say, I have confidence in your obedience, Philemon. I know that you're a child of God. I know that there's this spiritual seed within you that is growing and blossoming like a beautiful fruit tree. There was genuine fruit, spiritual fruit in Philemon's life, and that gave Paul confidence that the fruit was real and would continue to mature and ripen. Because this kind of growth and this kind of fruit is only natural for a Christian. Do you have confidence in this kind of growth in your own walk with God? You can. Why? Because it's not so much your growth and your fruit, but the growth and fruit of God's Spirit within your heart and life. So Paul's confidence was really a confidence in Christ and in the power of the gospel. Remember what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6? He uses the same word, being confident, being persuaded of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will do what? Will perform it and accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul could be confident in the obedience of Philemon. And this is why you can be confident in spiritual, more spiritual fruit as a Christian. Because there's still room for you to grow in your character as a Christian. Because God is not finished with you yet. There's more. There's more. But Paul also believed that there would be more growth in conduct as well, in Philemon's conduct, which is why he adds also in verse 21, knowing, not just being confident, but knowing that thou wilt also do more. More than I say, or the word more can be translated to go beyond what he suggests in this letter. Paul's confidence and persuasion about Philemon's obedience led to Paul's knowing and perceiving of Philemon's response. Isn't this what we often know about certain individuals? We know the people that we can call who will answer and help us when we have a need, right? Why? Because their character precedes their conduct. We have confidence in their character, and that's why we make the phone call, because we know, we can perceive that they're going to actually help us when we call them. In many ways, we see this taking place among God's people. There's often more given to those who have more already. And so Paul here recognized that Philemon would do more than he asked, would do more than he expected. Much, much more. It's kind of like children are able to do more when they grow more. I remember when I was growing up, I wanted to get older so I could do more things. Because even though you're somewhat limited as a child, yet there's still those desires to do something that maybe a 10-year-old can do, or a 15-year-old can do, or a 21-year-old person can do. Think about the little boy who starts out riding a tricycle. And then what does he want? He wants to be able to ride bicycle without training wheels. And eventually, in about 10, 15 years, they'll want to change that in for a motorcycle. And you see this desire for more, this desire to grow. But once again, where does this growth come from? That child does not consciously think, okay, I'm going to move from the tricycle to the bicycle to the motorcycle. There's just this natural progression in growing as a human being. And likewise, there's still that kind of progression in our spiritual walk with God as we live for Him and learn about Him. And so the confidence and knowledge that Paul had in the growth of Philemon's Christian character and conduct rested in the power and the promises of the gospel. You see, Philemon could do more and go above and beyond because of what God himself was able to do. Paul describes the Lord in Ephesians 3:20 as the one who is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And you know that this is the confidence and the knowledge that you can have in your own potential for growth if you are a child of God's today? There is still room for you to grow. The Lord is one who is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. There is still room for more growth in both your character and in your conduct as a Christian. In fact, never settle for mediocrity in your Christian life. It's okay to want more and aspire for more. But you also need to remember where your growth comes from. You need to keep your trust and confidence in the power and the work of the Lord in your heart and life. In fact, remember these words from Cyrus Nussbaum, who wrote the hymn, "His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee." Do you believe that there's still room for more growth in your life and walk as a Christian? We can also see, though, that there's still room for more giving. More giving, second, in your walk with the Lord. Now, that's what Paul turns to next in verse 22. After saying, "Philemon, I know you're going to do more." Why? Because I have confidence in your obedience. I have confidence in your obedience. Rather, I have confidence in God's working in your life so that you will obey. But Paul also writes, at the same time, verse 22, "But withal, I want you now to prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Now, this verse does reveal that there was a close relationship between Paul and Philemon, even though it does not seem from Colossians that Paul had ever been to that city before he was looking forward to this new opportunity to go there. And so he encourages Philemon to do even more than what he has already described in this letter. He encourages Philemon to keep preparing for and praying about Paul's arrival in Colossae. And I think this shows just how much more we can give of ourselves as Christians. Like Philemon, you can and should give yourself more to service. To service. Look at verse 22 again. When Paul uses the word withal, it's actually connected to the rest of the letter. He's not changing his tune completely. He's rather offering Philemon another opportunity to serve. He's saying, it's not just about receiving Onesimus. I want you to prepare to receive me as well. And this shows that we should be seeking out, as Christians, more opportunities to serve. And not just less. And with the word also, it's as if Paul is telling Philemon to serve him as he will serve Onesimus. That is, whatever you're going to do for him, and I know you're going to do a lot more than I even suggest, whatever you do for him, will you do the same for me? He's saying, I want you to make up another bed for me. I want you to set another plate on the table for me. I want you to show more hospitality to me, just like you would show hospitality to your former slave. Get everything ready for my arrival. And I believe that Paul could ask Philemon to do this because they had that special relationship. Only a close and a true friend would dare to make this kind of request. I even have some friends that have called up and said, "Hey, we want to meet up with you, but we're going to stay in a hotel." And I understand some of the reasons for that. But true friends will impose on you and recognize it. It's not an imposition at all. And neither will you. But I think he also asked this because there was a special fellowship that could take place in Philemon's own home, not just between the two of them, but between he and Philemon and Onesimus, his wife, his son, the church. This is the kind of reception and service that there can be and ought to be within the family of God. There should be service and hospitality to strangers, yes, but how much more should there be within the household of faith? We need to give ourselves more in Christian service to others. We need to put ourselves out there more to meet needs in the name of Christ. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15? He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That is, you want more. You want more in your service. You want more work for the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not less and less. Why? Because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But then also, like Philemon, you can give yourself more to supplication and to prayer. Even though Paul wrote this letter as a prisoner in Rome, he still had hope. Now, I think that if you were in prison, you would think that that would be a rather hopeless situation, because you're really in no control of your departure date, no control over your destiny, really. But not Paul. Paul's a prisoner in Rome, and yet he had hope. Hope to be released from his captivity, and even hope to visit the church of Colossae for the very first time. Paul was a man filled with hope, always hoping, always believing that there was something more for him in the plan of God. And I think this is a struggle that a lot of Christians have. They think that there is no more that God has for me. And yet, that's not the case. There is more. There is a lot more. And Paul was even hopeful if it meant that he would have to depart and be with Christ. That is, to die. Why? Because to him, that was far better. Remember Philippians 1:23? So Christians always have something to look forward to. Christians always have something to be hopeful in. But even though Paul had strong faith and hope in the sovereign plan of God for his life and even in his death, he also had strong faith and hope in the prayers of God's people. And that's why he wrote in the end of verse 22, "For I trust," and that word trust can also be translated hope, "I am hoping that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Here, Paul first describes the prayers of Philemon and his church. He says, "Through your prayers," or "through the prayers of you all." Paul knew that the church in Colossae was a praying church. And he knew that they were praying for him, and even for his release. Do people know that about our church? Do people know that about you? I think we all know individuals within our church or within our Christian circles who are praying people. May we all be praying people. Because God uses our prayers, and our prayers can be used in God's plan. And the Apostle Paul believes here that the prayers of the saints avail much with God. Do we believe that? So he wanted them to pray more. But then at the end of verse 22, he uses, even though he talks about prayer, he uses the language of providence when he uses a phrase that is a passive phrase. He says, "Through your prayers, I shall be given unto you." See, Paul knew that he had no control over his deliverance from that prison cell. He knew that he had no control over his departure from Rome or even his arrival in Colossae. After all, he was in bonds. But Paul still had hope and trust that he would see Philemon once again, this time in his own home. Why? How can a Christian have that kind of confidence in God's sovereign plan? Because he knew that prayer is an instrument in the providence of God. We may not know all the details or all the mechanical details between our prayers and God's plan, but we can know that prayer is an instrument in the providence of God. And when you recognize this, that God still works out His plan through the specific, sustained, and shared prayers of His people, you too will give yourself more to prayer. This is why we as believers, as a church, need to pray. Not just for each other, but with each other. So remember today that there still is room for more giving in your life as a Christian. Giving of yourself in service and in prayer. It's not time in your life to start doing less and less for God. It's time in your life as a Christian to keep doing more and more for God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, that work might be different. but it's still serving God and His people. But then we also see there's still room for more grace. Number three, still room for more grace. More grace in your walk with the Lord. And that's what we see in the very last verses of Philemon, verses 23 through 25, where Paul again says, in his customary way, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, men's names that we're familiar with, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So once again, Paul finishes his letter in a rather, or rather, his ordinary way. But I think there's still some important truth in these words. And so I think Paul is suggesting to Philemon that there is still more grace to be found in Christ, that is, in the body of Christ. Because in verses 23 and 24, we find five more Christian brothers, along with their names and their greetings to Philemon. This is added to Timothy. This is added to Onesimus as well. So we have a number of men, Christian men, all brothers, finding themselves mentioned in this letter. But all five of these are mentioned here in order to encourage, I believe, Philemon. Epaphras is mentioned here first because he was likely the founding and senior pastor of the Colossian church. He'd just been away for a little while. He may have been an actual prisoner or sort of a voluntary prisoner with Paul at this time. But through their names and the description of Epaphras as a fellow prisoner, the description of the others as my fellow laborers, I think Paul is showing Philemon that even the loss of Onesimus as a slave would be more than made up by the gain of this glorious band of Christian brothers. What he lost in Onesimus, he would gain in the body of Christ. And this is what we find as Christians. The Bible says that sometimes you lose family members when you become a Christian. I was reading a book about a Christian man who grew up Muslim, a book that Brother Art had lent me to read. And he loved his parents dearly, but when he turned to Christ, as is customary in Muslim nations and Muslim families, the parents and the families themselves often turn their backs on them. And sometimes in some countries, they will even kill their relative because they turn to Christ. And yet, even the family that is lost by a former Muslim who is now a brother in Christ is gained. He gains that much more because of the family of Christ that he now possesses. Brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, abundant. And I think that's one of the reasons why he adds this in his letter to Philemon. Not just a customary thing, but saying, hey, Philemon, Onesimus isn't your slave anymore. He's your brother. And look at all these other brothers that are coming alongside you to encourage you along in this way. As Christians, we need more of these kinds of relationships, not less. Relationships where we salute each other in Christian love and grace, as well as serve with each other, and when the time comes, even suffer with each other. Knowing that Christians are not just fellow laborers with other Christians, Christians are even fellow laborers with Christ. Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God." You see, earlier on in this letter, Paul actually said, Philemon, you're a fellow laborer. These brothers are fellow laborers. But we're all fellow laborers with God. We are working together for a common purpose and for a common master. And there is still more grace to be found in Christ. But then we also learn that there is still more grace to be found from Christ. And that's what we see in the final pronouncement, really the final prayer of Paul, not just for Philemon, but for the entire church that meets in his house. Look at verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, the word your there is actually in a plural form. It could also be translated, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with the spirit of you all. He's describing the spirit of Philemon, the spirit of his wife, Aphia, the spirit of likely his son, Archippus, and all of the members of his church there in his house. When you recognize the need in your own heart and life for more as a Christian. For more growth in your character and in your conduct, as we saw earlier. For more giving of yourself in service and in prayer. And even more grace within the body of Christ. Don't you realize how hard it is to have this more? Well, then you realize that you cannot get more. You cannot do more. Because apart from Christ and His grace, you will always settle for what is least in your faith and walk with God. You need His grace for this growth. You need God's grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can have more in your faith and walk with Him. And that's why Paul ends this letter, as most of his letters, in this way. Because apart from His grace, we will always settle for what is least. But this is not what Paul wanted for his friend and brother Philemon. He wanted there to be more. You know, this is what we should desire for each other as well. This is one of the reasons why it says in Hebrews that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we ought to gather together and we ought to provoke each other. That is, to stir each other up to love and good works even more as we see the day approaching. And even though we can't know for certain, it appears from church history that Philemon did more than Paul asked. A little bit later in the first century, there is record of a pastor in the church of Ephesus, which was about 100 miles down the valley away from Colossae. And the name of this pastor was Onesimus. He was eventually martyred, according to church tradition, for his faith in Christ. Is it the same Onesimus that Paul is writing about here to Philemon? Perhaps. If so, Philemon did more than Paul wanted concerning him. So, from runaway slave to a brother beloved, to a Christian pastor in a very prominent church, to a faithful martyr, Onesimus had been given true freedom in Christ. Because Philemon did more. And is not this what the Lord wants for you today and others as well? He wants more for you. That's why Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there is still room for more grace and more giving and more growth in the Lord. There is not a limit. In fact, our limit is the limit of Christ Himself. As we sang earlier, He giveth more grace. Remember the chorus? His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. There's more to be had in your life and in your faith as a Christian. So is that what you want today in your Christian walk and faith? Do you want more? Hopefully, you've seen today that there is more, much more. So do not settle for less. Do not settle for less growth in your life. Do not settle for less giving of yourself in service and in prayer. Do not settle for less grace. Instead, aspire and even ask God for more. The Bible says, whosoever asks will receive. The truth is, you can never have too much of a good thing when it's God's thing. Because if it's God's thing, it's the best thing. Do you want more? Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for this example of Paul prodding his brother in Christ to grow more, to give more, and to experience more of Your own grace in his life. And Father, I recognize that so often in our lives as Christians, we go through the motions. We're here today, aren't we? We'll be here tonight, Lord willing. We might get up in the morning and have our time of devotions and quiet time as we read Your Bible and pray. And sometimes we wonder, is there more? And the truth is, there is more. There is more room for us to grow. There are more ways for us to give. There is more experience of your grace available to us because you have no limit. You are infinite in your love and in your grace, and even, Lord, in the growth that you enable us to participate in. And so, Father, I pray that you will put on the hearts of all of us today a desire for more, a desire for more of these things, but always remembering that we will never get more or do more apart from your grace. Because the more comes from you. And so, Lord, I pray that today we will come to you with open hands, even as perhaps we will have our plates in our hands on Thursday. We go by the buffet and say, "Can I have more?" Lord, may we do that before you in our time of prayer here today. We hold our hearts and our hands before you and say, "Lord, can we have more? Can we grow more? Will you help me to give more? Will you help me experience more of your grace? Because, Lord, we want more. Help us, Lord, not to settle for where we are or what we have when it comes to our walk with you. Lord, in all the other circumstances and possessions, Lord, we need to be content with such things as we have, knowing that you will never leave us or forsake us. But how many times do we see in the life of the apostles that they still wanted more? They still pursued after you. They still sought to serve you. They still sought to go wherever you would have them to go, even if it meant that they would end up leaving this world and entering into the presence of their Savior. Oh, Father, I pray that we will want more and that, Lord, you will give us more. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.